ho, ho, ho.
This is Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650, a presentation of White Spot. Now, here's your host, Brooke Ward.
The crowd is just on its feet here. Cinderella boy.
Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to another edition of White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week. A presentation of the fine folks at White Spot. Brooke Ward with you. So glad to have you with us tonight. And the live studio audience is here as well tonight. We don't always get a live studio audience, but here in the confines of the mighty 650 Sportsnet Radio in Vancouver, live audience today. Hello, live audience. All right, that's enough of you. Thanks for showing up, Bill. Appreciate it. The live studio audience here. Busy show tonight. Ron Toigo, the majority owner of the Giants, going to join us in a couple minutes. Also, Nathan Kanter later on the program. And Bill Wilms, who we told you last week, is going to hang him up after 25 years with the Vancouver Giants doing color commentary. So Bill will not. We talked with Bill about this last week, but I didn't talk to Nathan and ask Ron about it, too. Say it ain't so, Joe. Come on, Bill. Yeah, you got 25. That's it. 25 years and you're done. Wow, that's weak. Anyway, Ron Toigo in a couple minutes. Nathan Kanter, Bill Wilms. It'll be a busy program for tonight. Giants, as always, they have been busy themselves. Games on Saturday and Sunday at the LEC did not go Vancouver's way. They're riding a 7-game losing streak right now. Now in the basement in the West at the moment, too. So you're starting to look ahead to draft picks and projections as you move forward here. But it was Kelowna over the Giants 9-2 on Saturday night. And then it was a 2-1 loss for the Giants on Sunday afternoon to Red Deer at the LEC. By the way, major props to the crowds that just come out and support the Giants day in and day out, gaming, win or loss. And there have been too many losses for the Giants liking this year, certainly. But the crowds continue to file in there. Major props. Speaking of live audiences, major props to the Vancouver Giant hockey fan, continue to load up at the Langley Event Center. The Giants are back at it on Saturday. Make it Friday. Friday night. Friday and Saturday, frankly. But Friday night, they'll host Spokane. And then on Saturday, they'll take on the Kamloops Blazers. Those two games coming up at the LEC. Busy show tonight. Let's get to it. Ron Toigo, as promised, is now with us here. White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week. White Spot. Oh, Ron, I'm getting hungry. White Spot. What's your go-to at White Spot?
Actually, I really like the I like breakfast there. It's the best breakfast of any place. And I like the poached eggs with the spinach Benedict.
There's some new stuff on the menu there too.
It's really good,
and
really good for you too.
I know. Hey,
you got to start thinking about it when you get to our ages.
Yeah, I know. I'm starting to think about that now and then. I like the sunny start when it comes to breakfast.
Well, the Naps is the best by a mile, but two sausages, two bacons, two eggs, two pancakes, two.
Jeez.
You know, I don't have metabolism for that.
I hear you. Because I would usually, anyway, but that's not why you called. You didn't call to talk White Spot, but while we're here. But meanwhile, the legendary burger platter, as an example, to me is always a go-to as well if I'm looking
always,
for lunch.
It's always safe to do that one.
If they want it, you can get free lettuce and tomato on it. It comes with it if you want it. But to tell you the truth, Ron, I like the old standard original. I don't want to mess it up. I just want double, extra, triple O. And go.
That's the British Columbian right there.
Oh, yeah. Man. There's still a drive-in, by the way, White Spot, the one on Broadway.
Yeah, there's a few still.
Really? Where are the other
two? North Van, Broadway, Langley, North Elba.
The drive-ins?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Or drive-ups. I guess drive-in, drive-up, yeah.
Well, there's drive-throughs.
Park and order, and they bring the food to you, and you can sit in your car, yeah.
Yeah, that's drive-in.
There's still a few of them around.
Yeah, no, that's gold still. You can still, I know at least close to me on Broadway.
Park Coquitlam. Coquitlam, I think. Yeah, there's probably still eight of them anyways.
That's cool, because I could see that being phased out, because. But otherwise,
just don't have the outdoor theaters anymore.
Yeah. The outdoor movies, the drive-in movies.
Yeah.
The drive-in theaters. I remember those, too. But
not many do, though.
No, but it's, yes. If you're this old, you remember the drive-ins. And I don't remember any of the movies I saw at the drive-ins, but I remember my dates. But that's another whole other topic right there. Remember who I went with.
Or sneaking four extra guys in the trunk.
In the trunk. Oh, glory days. Well, thanks for calling, Rod. Anyway, I wanted to ask you about Bill in a minute because he's hanging him up after 25 years. I still say we got to talk him out of that somehow. But your hockey club in general, how are things going?
Let's talk about Bill.
Okay, Bill's kind of... Well, I mean, you got so many injured guys on the hockey club, though. I mean, legitimately.
Yeah, no question about that. And good players, but, you know, I'd like to think that they're all good players. And, you know, every player on the roster was the best player on their team at some point since they've been 12. So they're all good hockey players, and they're all getting opportunities that some of them are getting opportunities they might not have got. And, you know, I think it'll be good for everybody.
Do you like the new guys? I assume you do, of course. But what do you think about the new guys you did pick up, whether they're sitting in the stands injured now or not?
Well, I really liked them when we traded for them.
Yeah.
And they are going to be huge additions. You know, it's really hard for guys like Preston that were rated so high in the draft and to take this kind of a hit now. It's definitely going to hurt them in the draft, but all it does is means you're going to be picked later in the draft by a team that's probably better and go to an organization that's probably in a better position to start winning sooner than later. So, but they're all going to get drafted. Well, maybe not exactly where they thought they were going to be at the time, but, you know, the good clubs have already made their decisions on a lot of guys and they'll be fine.
Well, there's where your sleepers come in. If you're going to drop a few positions like a Mathis Preston or a Ryan Lynn because you haven't played the full season, to me, again, if you've scouted these guys early, you should know where you slot them anyway. But there's the upside is that's where the sleeper guy comes in. Someone drafted 10th overall.
I don't see Ryan Lynn dropping at all.
Yeah.
I mean, his hockey skills, his hockey sense, I think he's the best defenseman in the draft, regardless of where guys are playing or how big they are. In 5-6 years from now in the NHL, he'll be the best defenseman taken in the draft.
Yeah. And so if Mathis Preston slips to 20, let's just say I pull dummies out of the air. Well, someone's getting a good player at 20 because of this,
definitely.
You know, leg injury or whatnot, but I sure hope they get back soon. WHL prospects game is coming up here too. I think that's really cool. I don't know who thought of it, but doing a dub, if not an OHL in a Quebec League, a prospects game, I think is a great idea.
It is a good idea, and it gives more guys opportunities to show their skills. And, you know, the system that we've adopted now with playing the USA, we've gone from having 44 guys participate in the CHL Top Prospects game to 22. And so it really limits the opportunity for guys to be able to show off what they're all about. And by doing it with the three leagues, it opens up the number of guys to get exposed and gives the scouts a good chance to see them all.
I'll come back to your hockey club in just a moment, but because we did drop Bill on you, it's 25 years, huh? I mean, I hope he changes his mind in the offseason, unless you're trying to get rid of him, Ron, because many have tried. But it's 25 years. That ain't bad.
Well, I've known Bill. I've been when I owned the Tri-City Americans from 91 to 2000, and Bill used to come down and do broadcasts there off and on with Shaw, and so he's been around for, you know, probably over 35 years at one level or another, and he's always been recognized as the best for the Western Hockey League, whether it was doing the TV games or the radio games. Nobody has more knowledge about the Western Hockey League than Bill. He's a real student of it. He takes the time and energy. It comes across as, you know, big league, very professional, and there's not many questions you can ask him about the Western Hockey League that he won't have an answer for.
Yeah, and was it a hard sell to get him to do Giants games originally?
You know what? I really...
It was a long time ago.
I don't think so. I didn't hire him, so... I don't know where that came, but he's just been around.
He just showed up one day.
Yeah, he just showed up. He came with the broadcast, and we went from there.
A good guy, and you, as you say, does his homework. He's like, mm-hmm. He's got notes all over the place, pasted all over the walls, does a ton of homework. And you're right. There's not much you can ask Bill that he won't have an answer for, huh?
Not as far as the Western Hockey League goes.
Yeah, yeah. No,
although he might have more answers for a lot of other stuff too, but you never really talk about it.
No, I tune him out. I tune him out then. Anyway, 25 years is he? Are you going to work on him in the off season, or are you just, you know, wait for him to come back to you?
He might retire from that aspect of it, but yeah. I got to believe he's still going to be around and probably do it at his pace. And I'm sure he's got some travel plans and all the rest of it. But he's part of the culture. It's he's certainly. This is a big part of his life, and I just can't see him cutting it off completely.
It's going to be weird without him, so I hope he changes his mind as well. So your hockey club, again, just with the new coaching staff this year, they've got all these injuries and things going on, and the new GM as well. What are your thoughts of the way things are being run, Ryan?
Well, we're dead last, so I'm certainly not happy about it. That's not where we expected to be. We certainly had higher expectations on the way this year was going to unfold, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate for the players that are going to draft it. It's unfortunate for the fans that come to the games, and we're not happy with the set, you know, where we're at right now, and there's reasons for everything, and it's certainly unfortunate, but you know, we still have some really good players, and it's when they get back, it's still very entertaining. But you know, we really believe in this group of players we have, and I think next year at this time, with the bulk of these players coming back, we're going to be talking about a team that's in first place.
I sure hope so. It'd be well worth it as well. Your fan base, by the way, a major applause. They know what's going on. They're out there, and you pretty well 3,500, 4,000 every game, 4,500, that type of thing. I must applaud your fan base, too, for continuing to show up and really – you've got these guys loving Giants hockey out there.
No, absolutely. And, you know, the ticketing staff have done a great job as well. And you know, we might not be winning, but it's still pretty entertaining hockey. You're still seeing the future stars of the NHL. No matter any given night, there's two or three or four players that are going to be in the NHL in the next, you know, 3 or 4 years. And then you're seeing them at this development stage, and you'll be able to go to Canuck games and say, yeah, I remember seeing him at the Giants game. And that's kind of a cool thing for people to be able to do.
What made you buy a hockey club in the first place?
Well, it was back in 1990, so it was a while ago that I got into this business. And, you know, everybody grows up playing hockey, and it's a Canadian, and the opportunity presented itself, and it seemed like a fun thing to do at the time. Little did I know it was going to be, you know, a lot. It wasn't a fun thing the first number of years, but, you know, when you're winning, it's fun, and when you're not, it's not fun at all. And unfortunately, we've had too many not fun at all years over the last few years here. And so hopefully, but like I said, I think we're really excited about the group for next year and the opportunities to really take control of this division next year and maybe take a decent run at the championship. It might not look like it now, but we have some very good players on our team that are coming back, and it's going to be a lot more fun next year. And hopefully for the end of this year, we'll get things in line and prepare for the run next year. But, you know, it's a long shot for the playoffs, but we aren't mathematically eliminated yet. So who knows, you know, as guys start coming back and we start playing a little better, and anything's possible. But the group is really strong for next year, so we're excited.
Thanks, boss. Appreciate it. See you on Friday night.
All right. Thanks, Brooke.
Ron Toigo, majority owner of your Vancouver Giant Hockey Club. Nathan Kander in just a minute here, just queuing him up, trying to get a hold of him on the phone line. By the way, as mentioned, Friday night, Spokane in town, and with all the trades the Giants have made, almost it seems like every time a team comes in, there's a former Giant on that team. Tyus Sparks will be back with Spokane along with Merrick Howell when the Giants return to action on Friday night at the LEC. Howell, by the way, he has played in 9 games. He's played well, too, for Spokane, the former Giant. 9 games, he's had a goal and an assist in those 9 hockey games. So we'll look forward. And he's wearing jersey number 44, his old jersey number. He's got it back with the Chiefs. And when it comes to Tyus Sparks coming in, he's wearing jersey number 88. He's Eric Lindros. He is the Eric Lindros of the Spokane Chiefs. He's wearing jersey number 88. He's played in 8 games for Spokane and has scored 3 goals and added 2 helpers. So 5 points in the 8 games that he has played. So both those guys, health permitting, of course, are due back in town on Friday when the Chiefs hit the LEC. Nathan Kanter is now with us. He's the play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants, who next year just maybe does, you know, all 150 games by himself, because Bill Wilmes is calling it a day after only 25 years with the Giants. Wow, that's soft. Hi, Nathan.
Hello. If you actually stop for a second and think about that, 25 years, for how long hockey seasons are, how much goes into just one seat, like 25 years, all the players that he has seen over the years, many of them going on to play pro, to play in the NHL. It's unbelievable. We got to a spot, like, this is only my third year, but I remember already, like, more than once where he's seen a player and said, I broadcast his dad. Hmm. I remember this player's father.
I hear you.
In the WHL.
Well, there's nobody on the roster that was alive when Bill started doing Giants games. So there's nobody. They were 4, 5, 7, 8 years away from being born.
It's outrageous. Yeah.
Like, where were you in 2000? Where were you in the year? How old were you in the year 2000? Where were you in the year 2000? What were you doing?
Oh, I was in elementary school. Yeah. I was in Toronto. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
You could have been listening to Bill. You could have been listening to Bill for 25 years by then in the year 2000, because he's done other work.
And the big thing for me personally has been, and I think it was one of the first things that he said, is tagging and how important tagging is when you're doing this, which is because again, he's got his notes, he's prepared, he's going to point out something, and you will notice the chemistry if you're constantly, one is tagging the other. So if he says something and I just kind of move on to a totally different point and almost disregard it,
right,
that it doesn't sound good. So there's an importance where one person, and usually the play-by-play guy, will tag the color guy, because the color guy's the analyst. He's seeing something. He's going to point out something, and I need to then follow up with that and have something ready of my own that supports what he just said. And that really, really is super, super important in any sports broadcast.
One of the many things you've learned, I call it backselling, but you can tag if you like.
Yeah.
And usually just, great point, Bill, just for you moving forward for the rest of the year. Great point, Bill, if you can't think of anything. But yeah, people don't necessarily know, but every sports broadcaster, at least play-by-play guy, I shouldn't say every, because I don't know what everybody else does, but they should all be doing a whole bunch of prep in case there's a, the game is the story. You don't know what's going to happen in the game. So when you sit down to call a game, you don't know what's going to happen yet. You don't know what you're going to say. Nothing's happened yet. But you got to have all these other things to talk about when you need them in case something happens. Or, if someone breaks a pane of glass, you got to have something to talk about while they fix the pane of glass, et cetera, et cetera. So you got to have a lot of prep. So there's a lot of work goes into it, never makes it to the air, frankly. These people that think you, particular Nathan, just sit down, start talking. Anyway, Bill's, how many play-by-play guys, or how many broadcasters would you think you've worked with over the years when it comes to doing a hockey broadcast?
Ooh.
How many colormen have you had over the years?
Well, as many might know or might guess, when you first start out, there is no one. You're on your own.
Sometimes at home, they'll give you a home guy because they don't have to pay him to go on the road if you were with Sam and Arm or something.
Yeah. So, well, with Sam and Arm, I don't think I would have ever had anyone
really
home or away.
What a difference it makes, though, to have someone with you, huh?
It is. Oh, my goodness. That's kind of, I guess, what I'm getting at is like the ability for Bill to hop in whenever with whatever and make it, you know, impactful, and, you know, sometimes something you wouldn't have thought of that makes you go, huh, or you learn something.
Yeah.
It's as a play-by-play guy, it is so nice to have that. And not only obviously it elevates the broadcast, but it just makes things for you.
Easier.
I mean, to be honest,
you can say easier if you want. I always thought that, oh, good. Okay. Yeah. It's a home game. Now I got a color guy with me. With the Vancouver Canadians years ago, it was like, oh, okay, like, you know me, I'm doing it right here. I can go for, 3 hours straight, but without a breath or two. But the luxury and gift of having a good color guy with you, like you have with Bill, is a tremendous thing. 25 years, man. Where are you going to be? You got 25 more years. You've done three with the Giants. You get 22 more anyway before you move on.
25. Oh, I don't want to think that far down the line. Right. I
2050. Oh, the year 2050. Oh, Lord. It's not that far away, 2050. Nathan Canter, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants, continues to be with us for a couple of minutes as we swing around. It's enough of Bill, right, Nathan? Enough of him.
Yeah.
He's getting all the accolades. It's going to be a video tribute at the end of the year and all that probably stuff. Maybe you and I, if there's a video tribute, how can you and I get in? Well, I'd voice it probably. But
yes.
We should get our face in that somehow. Standing behind him. Okay.
But... 20, like the reason we 2050, the idea that scares me, we go so far down the line,
but it's not far away. That's
but,
a scary part.
But it is. That's 25 years is so crazy.
Yeah, but that's the scary part.
We can joke, Bill. Yeah. We can joke.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bill's not going to be around 25 years. I'm not going to be around 25 years, but you will be. So remember this moment. All of a sudden, you're going, what the? What I'm like, I'm 60. What the? Yeah, that's what we all do. I'm 60. What the? Anyway, the weekend for the Giants before I let you run, my brother. And thanks for all your kind comments too about Bill. He's a good guy. But the weekend there, I mean, they're undermanned. They're more than undermanned. They're fiver manned. I don't know what you say for five or eight guys out of the lineup, but I mean, they're undermanned.
There is a small light. At the end of the, we're getting close to the end of the tunnel, not there, but it appears, I mean, the Volatovsky thing on top of everything was almost comical, where he gets pretty ill, sick right before the weekend.
Sure.
And so they should get him back. And that's he's not a top end scorer, but he's you know how badly they need a 20-year-old center who can win a bunch of faceoffs and kill penalties?
Big time.
Big time. And then Caleb Hartman sounds like he hopes to return next week, this coming weekend as well. And again, that's an 18-year-old veteran. Like, if you look at the Giants' blue line, what they've had to, you know, even Middlestead, I don't really think, is at 100%, even though he's been playing. And then you're without your top pair. That means we talked about it on the post game, like Lance McCloskey. Past couple of games, he's playing upwards of 30 minutes, and that's a rookie.
Yeah, maybe so, if you look in the long run, you're going, that could be huge for him or other players.
Yeah,
in the
but
long
it's
run.
Just it for sure. Like this is in, and the coaches have said, like the guys going through all of this, they will be better for it. But in the now, it's very tough as you see. The losses, you know, start to add up, and then that eighth place, which is still a possibility, it's just the chances of that are less and less each weekend, unless you start to pick up points. So,
I hate to tell you, I hate to be, you know, not that we wouldn't say this, but to be honest, from Brooke's standpoint, so they can fire me, well, they're done. They're not making the playoffs. But, you know, they might bang me for that, but who knows, but I've been around for 20.
You can say that. I can't say that.
I've been here for 25 years too, but yeah, they're not going to the playoffs. Everyone knows it, but, I know the possibilities mathematically is still there, but I mean, all the teams you'd have to climb over, et cetera. So I'm just looking at draft position now, and they have Wenatchee's draft pick.
They have Wenatchee's pick in theirs. So yeah, as of today, I mean, if there's a small,
and what
positive.
Is there, a lottery for the last five teams or something like that? There
so
actually
all the teams that missed the playoffs, which used to be six and I guess is now seven, all seven go into a lottery.
Okay.
And the way that – so right now the Giants would have the – I think it's the third and fourth or third and fifth best lottery chances. So that can change, but you can only move like a couple spots. You're looking at two – elite players in the May draft.
You're probably two of the top five or six. Because right now, Swift Current is 27 points, Lethbridge 31, Regina and Red Deer 38, and then you got the Giants at 39 and Wenatchee at 41. So my math is correct, that's five and six right now they're holding on to it.
Now, the good thing, though, and here's the funny thing, Red Deer and Regina are battling for eighth. One of them will get in the playoffs, and they will technically finish ahead of Vancouver, even if they have less points, right?
Because
they would not be in the lottery if they make the playoffs.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So right now you're 4-5 if you're Vancouver.
Yeah.
That's an example. So that wasn't such a, if I'm looking at the future, that wasn't such a bad loss on Sunday to Red Deer. Because they gained
in a
points.
Weird way, yeah. I know. Yeah, if they hop, yeah.
I know, crazy. Yeah. Anyway, before I let you go, now we got have you checked the schedule? Who's coming in on the weekend? Friday night you got Spoke.
Ty Sparks, Maracal come back.
That's cool.
That'll be cool. Yeah, I love Ty Sparks.
And then Saturday it's Portland. So those two teams, you know.
Saturday Kamloops.
Did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. I looked too far ahead. You got Spoke. Yeah, I'm looking at February 20th and February 21st. Sorry, February 6th. Thank you, buddy. Spoke and then Kamloops coming in on Friday and Saturday. So Spoke's not what they used to be, but still.
No, because we took their best player.
Yeah, attaboy. Where's he right now?
Yeah,
he's
watching. He's getting closer, but he's watching.
You and Bill, but still, I can't wait for the guy. You know, you got such a look at those guys, though, and.
Yeah.
Preston and whatever for a couple of games, ready to see him in a giant, and you go, wow. And then it's like, you know, okay, there's some wow factor still out there waiting to come in. Anyway, it's going to be a busy weekend, buddy. So, I mean, I've kept you long enough, so I'll let you run, but
the other thing, lastly, prospects games getting closer and closer. So on Kamloops, they're coming into town, but JP Hurlburt, one of the top prospects, him, of course, along with the other, top draft eligible guys. You can all see them. Same price as any Giants ticket. You can see the best draft eligible prospects in Western Canada all playing one game.
In a non-televised, it's not a televised game other than victory, too.
So exactly.
You want to come in and jump on that. And a great idea, the WHL prospect game coming up as well. Thank you, Big Dog. You're the best.
Yeah.
You're the Big Dog. Bill's coming up next. 25 years, and then he's hanging him up. He's got nothing.
Much more important than myself.
Not at all. Got nothing. Yes. That's all you got. 25. Yes. Where are you going to be in 25 years? Nathan?
I know. I don't want to think about it. Don't want to think about it. I don't know.
If I were you, that's my advice to you. Don't think about it. That actually is the best thing I can tell you. Because all of a sudden it's here. Thanks, Nathan. I'll see you on Friday, pal.
Thank you, Brooke. We'll see you then.
Nathan Canner, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants. Bill Wilms is coming up next. Stay with us. This is White Spot. Vancouver Giants this week. This is Sportsnet 650.
Hello, everybody. It's your old friend Danny Gallivan, and you're listening to a scintillating, rapier-like Brooke Ward.
Ho, ho, ho.
Bill Wilms is now with us. He's the pride of the Vancouver Giants. We talked with Ron Toigo earlier about losing Bill next year, and Ron's not happy. Nathan, too. I talked with Nathan earlier today about losing Bill. He's not happy. And if you're asking Brooke right now, he's not happy. Bill, I mean, nobody's happy that you're hanging it up after this year. And I told Ron, just pay him more money. Or some. Pay him some money.
Well, yeah, no, he's been good. He's been more than generous, to be honest with you. It's well worthwhile. But you know what? You got to also, they're all saying they're sad, but you wonder how quickly they'd remove the welcome mat. You know, it's still in place, and for that reason, I'm happy. I'm thankful, but
I hear you, man. You annoyed people for so long, Bill, and then now you tell them you're leaving. It's like, wait a minute.
I want to be annoyed some more. Come on.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
You drove me nuts for 25 years. What do you mean?
I know.
You're leaving. Anyway, pal, many things I want to ask you about, but just the weekend wrap up for an undermanned, is that the easiest way to say it? I was listening to the post game show on Sunday night, an undermanned Vancouver Giant team right now as well.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't deny that. So, you know, when you go back to Saturday night, you know, against Kelowna, you had two teams at a point in their season, in their development that, you know, going in almost opposite directions. I mean, Kelowna completely fortified, you know, I mean, they've really, really strengthened. I know you and I talked about this last time, but they were coming in, I think, on 7 wins and 2 losses. And the Giants, on the other hand, I mean, really pretty much crippled. So you get one strengthened team, one totally weakened team with injuries. And, you know, the result was, I think, expected, to be honest with you. But the score was a bit disappointing, obviously, 9-2. But you know what, Brooke? I mean, watching this Kelowna Rocket team, that process of what they've gone through from being a last place team last year and only getting the Memorial Cup this year because of I think they had it in the 2020 COVID season and it was, you know, jerked away. There was no Memorial Cup. And so they've given it to them this year. And I think the process of watching this team develop and how they've, you know, how they've done it, I think is remarkable. And, you know, the rebuild started last season and it ended basically at the trade deadline this season, obviously. And, you know, when you look at their lineup that they had against us the other night, I mean, there were nine new players in that lineup from mid-season last year towards the end of the season last year. And that's as veteran players. I mean, we're talking nine, and the leading scorer that they acquired from Lethbridge, he wasn't even in the lineup. So there's 10 guys that have just absolutely, you know, made that team, I think, a contender, no question, for the Memorial Cup. They'll go in there as hosts, and I'm sure they'll represent the Western Hockey League well. And, you know, you only get to see this team in Kelowna, in Vancouver one more time at the LEC, March the 8th, at 4 p.m. I think it's a Sunday 4 p.m. start. And I would encourage WHL fans, as I'm sure some of them did, on a pretty much sold-out night, you know, Saturday night. You know, you probably, if they left, they left because the score wasn't great, but you should sit back and watch a pretty good Western Hockey League team at this point.
You are correct, sir, by the way. March 8th, Sunday, Kelowna. Ty Haliburton and Kelowna come to town. Haliburton scored a beauty, by the way, against his former team on Friday night that tied the game at one. I forget, frankly, in a 9-2 loss, Bill, the Giants scored first. So it's like, oh.
Yeah. But, well, and I agree with what everybody talked about Haliburton. I love the guy. I mean, obviously, he played with us so many years. I've watched him when he came in as a rookie. But I bristle a little bit at watching the other team too much when our focus obviously is on our team. And I love the guy. I don't want to take anything in any way away from Ty Haliburton. And same with Mastin Leslie. You know, by the way, Leslie got a call this summer from Luke Shen, a former Kelowna Rocket defenseman. And he encouraged Leslie that this could be his last chance to get, you know, National Hockey League contract. And that maybe going to Kelowna, because what they've done with the fence is very, very impressive in putting them in the National Hockey League. And he agreed, Mastin Leslie agreed, this would be his best move. And there he is. But again, and I wish him well. I wish especially 20-year-olds like Haliburton and obviously Leslie, this could be his last chance. So, yeah, they're a good team.
Yeah,
obviously a good team. I don't want to understate that. But
by the way, what a great Luke Shen story you just told.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I haven't heard that before. We should have Luke Shen call everyone on the Giants and tell them the same thing so they stay.
Well, he was a great defenseman, obviously, for the Kelowna Rockets, and one of many, Shea Weber. I mean, the list goes on.
I hear you. Well, by the way, I just want to say, on the 9-2 loss, the Aginla brothers, Joe and Tiege, Joe with the Giants, Tiege with the Rockettes, they combined for 7 points in the game, Bill.
Well,
the problem was that Tiege had 6 of them.
Yeah, I didn't look, but that might be a career high for him with points, game high. I don't know, but yeah, you can see that obviously why he was a 6th round draft pick, and embarrassingly, I mixed the two of them up last night in the call.
That's funny. That's funny.
Anyway.
Because I like Joe. I think Joe looks pretty good. We haven't seen a lot of him, but
yeah,
Joe again looks pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? He will produce. He can. He will produce offense. He has a terrific feel inside the offensive zone. And, you know, he'll move the puck or he'll shoot it. He's a good one. And, yeah, it's good to see the two of them playing against each other.
Yeah, it's just funny. A 6-point night for Tiege Aginla in that game.
Yeah.
And I think Dawson Gerwig had a 4-point night, maybe even 5.
He amazes me. I mean, this guy was the biggest guy in the draft his draft year, and he's just gotten better and better. He didn't get picked. He's been missed twice.
Well, with the Giants' injuries, too, like I think Will Sharp was the only draft pick in the Giants' lineup, NHL draft pick, and there's like 8 of them in Kelowna or something.
Is that what it was? Yeah, 8 or 9, you're right.
Something like that, in that ballpark. It was like, well, geez, holy smokes. And sitting on the sideline, I'm not done with the Sunday game, Bill. We haven't got to it yet. But just because of that, when you talk about, I mean, the Giants' scratches on the weekend, and I'll just go into the main ones, but sitting right below you and Nathan, Nathan and Bill sit in, let's call it row two of the upper deck of the LEC, and then right below all of us are players or personnel or whatever the case is. Sitting below Bill and Nathan were Caleb Hartman, Ryan Lynn, Misha Volatoski, Adam Tittleback, Mathis Preston. Right there, you've got Lynn and Hartman. There's your top two D. And then if you want Tittleback, Preston, Volatoski, I don't know if I'm missing anybody. You've got basically a top line sitting there right below. That's basically your top forward line, give or take, and your top deep pair that were sitting below you and Nathan wearing the short pants and the no socks that the kids still wear today.
I know. I see that when they come in.
It's like, come on, man.
Hey, Brooke and Preston and Lynn, I don't have it in front of me, but if you not look at their points, but look at their shots on goal combined, that's what's out of the lineup. Tittleback, his chance, his shots on goal. Maybe not as much, but Preston and Lynn, their shots on goal, that's offense. You know, we can look at their goals and assists. We know they make other players better. That's their biggest attribute, is they make others better. And the others that are on the team right now are not benefiting from because they aren't in the lineup. And, you know, so, yeah, it was tough against Kelowna. But, again, like I say, the encouragement, I think, or what I certainly get out of that, having seen 25 years. I've seen 25 Memorial Cup teams. I was fortunate to work three Memorial Cups. Okay. And so I've seen what finishing products look like. And this is the finished product. You won't see a stronger Kelowna team. That's it. They can't get any stronger. So I hope fans temper that score with the fact that you saw, a pretty good team. And then couple that with the penalties. I think the Giants gave the Rockets quite a few power plays, and that's a killer.
Yeah, I mean, Vancouver's it's tough to beat Kelowna anyway, but with all those guys out of the lineup. And I heard the post game yesterday too, and you were talking, on Sunday with Parker Burgess and whatnot, and you know, stay the course and keep trying. But I mean, you know, you got a third of your lineup and a third of your top players sitting in the press box.
Yeah,
with a team of Vancouver that sold at the deadline to rebuild.
Exactly.
You know, you got a BC Hockey League team, you might think, of playing a dub team in some of these games. So,
you know, and when you take Preston and Lynn alone out of the lineup, you obviously have to, you know, because they're not playing, now you've lost, you've lost Sparks' offense, and you've lost Schmidt that's gone to, you know, you traded to Seattle.
Right.
So you're losing that offense that you had in the meantime. So, I mean, I love the trade. I want to go back to that real quick. I want to say that it had to be made, and I thought it was a good trade. And it certainly was built for the future in mind. And again, you know, when you look at, the weekend, okay, if you look at Crosby and Matejczyk, a 15-year-old defenseman, Oscar Holowaychek, a 15-year-old forward, Brooke, they were literally thrown in the deep end.
Yeah.
And here's the fun part. There was no struggle at all staying afloat in the deep end. They were actually swimming. I mean, they were actually doing stuff out there. They were, you know, when I thought about it, you know, they were actually doing some pretty good swim strokes. They were effective 15-year-old hockey players. And that speaks part to their, where they're at and to what was missing out of the lineup, obviously. And you don't want to say, hey, the playoffs are an impossibility this year. What the Giants need, Brooke, is they need a streak of where they go 5-1 or 7-2. Now you can make up some serious points, but that's so hard to do. And, you know, when you got a team, you're facing a team like Kelowna.
Yeah.
And then Red Deer, too. You know, we can talk about that a bit. That was a team coming in here needing the 2 points to tie for eighth in the Eastern Conference, to tie for the last playoff spot. And they're on a tough road trip. This had to be. They lost their first, three or four games in the BC division, so they're coming in. They had just learned that Regina had moved into eighth with a win, so they needed that win against Vancouver. So you got a very, very motivated team, obviously, and you got a team from the Vancouver Giants standpoint that, as we've already addressed, is rebuilding.
Yeah. I mean, even at the deadline, I was talking to Nat Domenichelli yesterday, the GM, and we didn't get deep into this, but even at the deadline, you're kind of like, okay, well, we're making moves to build for the future, so you know the play. I mean, they sold, but they bought. See, I thought they did very well at the deadline, frankly, all things considered, Bill.
Yeah.
But you knew kind of then, well, we're probably not going to make it, so let's do this. And then you take all these guys out of the lineup, and now you've bottomed out. So I don't think it's a surprise, but to anybody. But the 2-1 loss on Sunday, as you talk about to Red Deer, so again, the battle is... I see the battle there. I love the two young guys. I love the young guys in the lineup. I haven't seen a lot of them, Bill, but the speed of these guys is something that stood out to me. But you just don't have the guns right now. I wanted to ask you about the fans, though. They keep showing up. They do know what's going on. They're paying attention. No one's booing these guys out of the rink or anything, Bill. Big exactly. Credit to the fans who come in and know what's going on, because at times you think that the hockey fan... They just show up, you know, someone gave them tickets or whatever. No. They keep filling the place. And I give major props to the fans to come in who know what's going on here.
Well, you know, I hope that what you do in your show once a week and what we do even in our pregame shows, we have a couple hundred people sitting there having dinner. And, you know, in the
banquet hall, yeah.
In the banquet hall, right. And when Justin Morissette and Nathan and I are there, I mean, we try to convey a real message. If it's a message of hope, we want to talk about that. And if it's a message of concern, we want to talk about that. And, you know, I'm hoping, I always have hoped this is, and it's been a wonderful opportunity. I mean, I don't know any team in the Western Hockey League that has dinner with a couple hundred people sitting there and listen to a pregame show. I mean, that's wonderful. Yeah. And I'm hoping they're learning and they're, you know, if we said, hey, be patient, look, and Brooke, you couldn't articulate it any better as you have already. And, you know, just now this is a team that is not going to, they're going to have a hard time, you know, putting wins together, especially when you came off that crazy, that was the worst homestand at the time that you could possibly have. Now, again, at Red Deer, they kind of, you know, the schedule led the Giants up for error. You know, I mean, they were just being smothered with a schedule that was Penticton, Everett, Prince George three times, Kelowna. That's the cream of the crop in the Western Conference. So, yeah, I agree. If fans got to be patient. I can tell you honestly, next year looks really good. And I'm not always a next year guy. I've always been, what are you doing this year? What are you doing, you know, now? Because I have seen, 25 WHL finals where I've seen what Medicine Hat or Tri-City or Calgary or Vancouver we're doing now, you know, this year. This is the year that fans are very interested. You know, draft picks are great, but they really don't – they mean way, way, way more important to the future of the team than until they get a sweater on. It doesn't mean that much. But I agree with you. I think the fans are very, very patient, and I'm loving that.
Well, in the pregame show and the postgame show in the banquet hall at the LAC, by the way, free to come on and watch and listen to the pre- and postgame shows. Those 200 or so people, though, well, at least those are the gamers. So they're in there for the pre and the post. Those are the real gamers in there. They haven't just showed up. Those are the Giant fans. They'll tell two friends and they'll tell two friends. So it must get around the rink that, hey, by the way, we're undermanned. So, another great idea, by the way, the Giants had to put and I haven't really thought about this, Bill, but to put the pregame show and the postgame show in the banquet hall for people to come and see if they want. And, you just get, we should put the pregame show on the big screen, by the way, while you guys are in there before the game. That'd be something.
I know.
Just an idea guy kind of here, Bill.
But Brooke, as far as the weekend is concerned, if I can, yep. I want to take away a couple individuals because all three of them that I'm going to talk about quickly are draft picks coming in, potential in the draft picks in the coming draft in the National Hockey League. When is it in June? You know, three guys that I think have been ranked. Obviously, Joe Eginlan. We talked about him producing offense, and he's still getting comfortable. Obviously, you got new billets and new atmosphere, new rink, et cetera, et cetera. I thought Brett Olson, he had two of the three Vancouver goals that were scored on the weekend. Now four goals in his last seven, games played. He's definitely, that's an important mark for him. Tobias Tomic, wow, he's, I don't know about you, but he's kind of got me straightening my back a little bit and saying, wait a minute, I got to adjust my glasses. At 13, he's found another gear. And it was interesting what the coach said. He said before the trade, he was kind of watching the guys, you know, and not really poised to explode, not knowing what kind of effect his skating is going to have on the game. And now it's just not shots on goal, like one-timers for all places in the offensive zone. He's created real scoring chances, and some of them are unbelievably good. And, he leads the team in shots on goal now, Brooke, 87. And the guys that are out of the lineup, like Preston and Lynn, they almost got 200 combined. So that's where it's at. And those are three guys that that I think had really good weekends in spite of everything.
Yeah.
And the bottom line for me, I guess, I think the Giants have certainly gotten tougher. Okay, there's no question about that. But I think at the expense of losing some offense. No, not at the expense. They've gotten tougher and they've lost offense. Not at the expense of. And I'll tell you, there's a real future when you marry those two things together, toughness and offense. And, this is something I think the Giants not only can look forward to for the future, and I don't know where the playoffs rank in all of this, but they play Spokane Friday and they play Kamloops Saturday. Those are the next two games to see this team. And I agree. Cheer them on.
Yeah. You know, you bring up a great point, and I'll let you run here too, but you great point about the mix. Because you can have offense, or whatever, but it's also about the mix. And that's what I've noticed, even with all these guys out of the lineup, is it seems like these guys are standing up for each other more. They're more hard-nosed now, at least in the last couple of weeks.
No, yeah, exactly. And that always is attractive to your fan bases. Have we got a tough enough group out there? You know, the game is won in six places, okay? The four corners and the two front nets. That's where the toughness really has to show up. And I've seen it happen, and it's a good thing. It's a trend in the right direction.
And I thought, Tomic, just backselling your point as well, on the weekend for me is the first time I really saw, whoa, he looked like he grew. He looked like he was a foot taller and a foot wider and was flying.
It looks, I agree with you. And it just, maybe he's, it's just that acceleration he's got now, but he does look that. I agree with you.
Yeah, I hope
he
it
looks
can
like, you know, he's still fairly highly ranked as far as Central Scout is concerned, and I thought on the weekend he looked worthy of that.
Yeah, and so I see a couple games of that, and we've talked about it before. Hey, if you can do it a couple games, do it every game. And so with Tomic, I'm like, so I'm not sold. I'm like, are you going to keep doing that? But I thought he was terrific on the weekend. As you were, Bill, as well, terrific on the weekend. Don't leave me. You're not going anywhere. I'm talking to Ron. You're sticking around for 26th year next year. There'll be off-season negotiations. We'll make another deal. We'll make a deal.
We'll
come up with something.
I really want to enjoy the rest of the season.
Yeah, and you do that.
Being with you on these weekly shows is always a big part of the fun, believe me.
It ain't over. It ain't over.
Oh,
there's going to be some off-season negotiations.
Till the fat lady sings.
You can say what you want.
You
can say what you want, but by the end of the summer, it'd be like the hockey player says, no, I'm retiring, and then suddenly you swing around to September, and someone says, well, you know.
Well, I'm not so sure on that one.
It just feels
so right.
Yeah.
You know what, Brooke? Honestly, 26 wouldn't feel right.
Overstay your welcome, Bill. That's what you should do.
No. I've done that.
Oh, no, go ahead. Overstay it. It's going to be great. Anyway, thanks, Bill. Next week, look forward to it, and I'll see you on Friday night.
You bet. Talk to you again. Bye.
Bill Wilms, the great Bill Wilms, the legendary Bill Wilms. One more year, Bill. Come on. What's one more year? Anyway, 25 years with the Giants. Bill is telling us that he is not going to return next year. It's time to go and golf more, which is impossible for him because he golfs every day anyway. So, I mean, maybe it'd be two a day. You got to play 36 every day if you're Bill, who looks like he's 36, frankly. So why not play 36? Want to thank everyone for joining us. Bill moments ago, Nathan Kanter, Ron Toigo earlier in the program too. And of course, my buddy here, Jack the Giant. You know it, pal. Couldn't do it without you. And we thank you so much for joining us. Spokane Giants, Friday night. Next home game. Get your tickets. VancouverGiants.com/ tickets. I'm Brooke Ward. Thanks for listening. This has been White Spot, Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.